MZTV.
Priesthood. We don't want priesthood. We don't need a priesthood. Priest is a go-between between humanity and God. This was a necessity back before God truly revealed his heart. We know that Israel is going to be a priesthood nation during the millennium. They will be the go-betweens between God and the nations. But back in the day, in the Mount Sinai days, Israel herself needed a priesthood because they were scared to death to talk to God. They sent Moses to talk to God. You talk to him because he scares the crap out of us, basically. And rightly so, because I'm going to read a passage from Exodus chapter 19. Then I'm going to read a passage from Ephesians and show you how blessed we are to live in an era of a true revelation of God. Not all people were so blessed. And I know we know this intellectually, but it's good to hear it. And I'm going to give you a verse now that I was going to save until later, but I think you need it now. And it's John chapter 1, verse 17. For law through Moses was given, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You might also say, for the priesthood through Moses was given. And people today, Christians, still like to play with priesthood. They still like their go-betweens. They're still afraid to approach the deity directly. This is why they have set over themselves artificial priests. The Catholic Church is famous for this. They even dress up like priests, like it's Halloween. And they go through the ceremonies, and people love it. They don't want to approach God themselves. They're still afraid of God. Let the priest tell us what we need to know. Let the priest talk to God. We'll hear it from him, because this God shakes us up. We don't know him personally, and they don't. And so they long to have go-betweens. They long to have intermediaries, so they don't have to talk to God directly. But oh, how beautiful it is to know God and to know his son, Jesus Christ, through whom grace and truth came, and to trust him and to love him and to see that this is the same God of the Old Testament, but he reveals himself in increments. Let me read this again. This is a critical verse, John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law through Moses was given, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Sounds like you're a dispensationalist, Martin. I hate theological terms. If you're telling me that I'm someone who believes that God does different things at different times, then yes, that's the only sane way to read the scriptures. And here it is. If you want to call that a dispensationalist, all that means is that God dispenses different things at different times. At one point, he dispensed law, for the law through Moses was given. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. God is doing both actions. And he's setting up contrasts. It's the same God. He's just slowly unveiling himself. In fact, verse 18, God no one has ever seen, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he unfolds him. Jesus Christ, I love that. Unfolds God. Like Rand McNally Road Atlas. I'm going old school now, back before GPS. Yeah, those maps. I love those AAA maps, Auto Club maps, and you'd unfold the map and you would see the wonders of the land begin to appear as the map unfolded. Just try to fold them back, though. You couldn't do it. You could unfold them. I could, but I could never refold them. But I love the visual here in a concordant version. Jesus Christ unfolds God. This is a gradual thing. So, of course, God does different things at different times. He dispenses. A dispensationalist is somebody who believes that God dispenses different things at different times. There it is in John 1, 17. And each dispensation, everything God dispenses, whether it's law or grace, has its own administrator. So you might want to call a dispensationalist an administrationalist. Because with each different thing dispensed, there is a different administrator. Moses was the administrator of law. Paul, through the glorified Christ, was the administrator of grace. And an administrator acts during an administration. The administration is the thing. The administrator is the person. Does this make sense? This is the most sense I've ever made, I think. I mean, I've made a lot of sense over the years, but this. Of course God does different things at different times. There's a time to build an ark. That time is not now. There was a time to, that the command was to be fruitful and multiply. You don't have to do that now. You're not under that compulsion. We got enough people. If you want to, go ahead. I'm all for it. If you don't want to do it, Paul says, it's best not to touch a woman. That's what Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That wasn't good information to give Adam, was it? This idea not to touch that woman, Eve. Oh, okay, well, that was bad advice in Genesis. Great advice now. Nobody follows it, but still great advice. Different things at different times. So simple. So now I'm going to read from Exodus 19 to show you how scary it was in days gone by, just to make you feel good in the administration you're living in. Exodus 19, verse 3. Moses, he ascended to the one Elohim, because they were camped in front of the mountain wall. Israel, I should start here. I should start just with verse 1 of chapter 19. In the third month, after the going forth of the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt, on this day they entered the wilderness of Sinai. When they journeyed from Rephidim and entered the wilderness of Sinai, then they encamped in the wilderness. While Israel encamped there in front of the mountain, Moses, he ascended to the one Elohim. Then Yahweh called to him from the mountain, saying, thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell to the sons of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians when I bore you on vultures' wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you shall hearken, yea, hearken to my voice and observe my covenant, then you will become mine, special possession. This was an if-then proposition. The whole law was an if-then proposition. If you do this, I'll do this. If you don't do this, I won't do this. We don't live under this. This was a different dispensation because law was being dispensed. It was a different administration with a different administrator. Simple, right? Then you will become mine if you do this. As for you, you shall become mine, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We are not, as members of the body of Christ, we are not a kingdom of priests. We are not a holy nation. We aren't a nation. We are a people scattered among every nation. And we're not Israelites. And even if we were, we, like Paul, have come to count our national identity as so much refuse as compared to the glories of knowing Christ. These are the words which you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and he placed before them all these words which Yahweh had instructed him. Now all the people responded together and said, all that Yahweh speaks we shall do. It was important to get that on record. They bragged, everything Yahweh said, we shall do. Turns out, they didn't do anything Yahweh said to do. This is going to boomerang on them at the great white throne. They will hear these words again. God will say, play the tape, and Israel will have no defense. But this was the old covenant. And they were required to do certain things, and they said they would. It was important for them to be convinced that they would. This was a demonstration to the entire world, to the universe at large, really, that flesh and blood is not able to do the things of God. We know that now, that this was a demonstration that was destined to fail. The marvel is that billions of Christians today are still attempting to do the law. Unbelievable. How did they miss all of this? I don't know. How did they miss the fact that law came so that the transgressions would increase? Romans 5:20. I don't know how they missed these things. God blinds the apprehensions via Satan. When Moses brought back the words of the people to Yahweh, then Yahweh said to Moses, behold, I am coming to you. This is not how he's coming for us. Listen how he came to Moses. I'm coming to you in a thick cloud. Well, he is coming to us in the clouds, that's true. But they're not going to be thick clouds. They're going to be wispy clouds, like Alto Cirrus, I picture it. Doesn't have to be cumulonimbus. Doesn't have to be cumulus clouds. Nothing scary, nothing dark. Wispy clouds. Alto Cirrus, I just picture Alto Cirrus clouds will be snatched away in the clouds. But not this kind of cloud. Listen to this. I'm coming to you in a thick cloud in order that the people shall hear when I speak with you, and moreover, in you shall they believe for the eon. In you shall they believe. In you. Who's you? Moses. So Moses told the words of the people to Yahweh. Then Yahweh said to Moses, go tell the people, and you will hallow them today and tomorrow. Hallow them, make them holy, let them rinse their raiments, come to be prepared for the third day. Why, what's going to happen on the third day? For on the third day, Yahweh shall descend on Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people. Also, you will set a boundary for the people round about, saying, guard yourselves. This reminds me of the altar in the Catholic Church. Set a boundary around that altar. Guard yourselves concerning ascent into the mountain or touching its outermost part. Oh, unless you are an altar boy, you could not go upon that altar. It was sacred. The altar of the Catholic Church was considered sacred. It was like the Mount Sinai of the town. The altar of the local Catholic Church. Set a boundary for the people. The people shall not come close to God. Only one man is close to God in this assembly, and that is the priest. The priest, he shall ascend to the pulpit, and you shall inquire of him. He shall speak to you the words of God. But do not approach yourselves, for you are not worthy to speak to God. Why are they recreating this distance? This is distance, distance from God. This was an era of distance, distance, distance. People were distant. The only way they could approach God was through their priesthood. Now we have access, going to get to that verse. God help me, I'll get to it. Ephesians chapter 3, we have access with confidence to the Father. And yet people are holding that verse at arm's length, access with confidence to the Father, sounds great, right? No, no. They're recreating this. They're trying to recreate. They're trying to rebuild Mount Sinai. It's not just the Catholics. Anywhere there's a raised platform, anywhere there's a pastor who acts as a priest, who acts as your head, who tells you that you need covering, and you need to have a man over you to discipline you, to guard you, to hold you accountable. And yet we, as members of the body of Christ, our head is Christ. I said this earlier in the week. I liked it so much, I'm saying it again. Go to the people, hallow them, let them rinse their garments, come to be prepared for the third day. For on the third day, Yahweh shall descend on Mount Sinai before the eyes of the people. Set that boundary I was telling you about and say, as you set the boundary, guard yourselves concerning ascent into the mountain or touching its outermost part. Everyone touching the mountain shall be put to death. Yea, death. No hand shall touch him, for he shall be stoned. Yea, stoned or shot. Yea, shot. Yeah, shot. I'm reading the Concordant version of the Old Testament. No, it probably wasn't a firing squad. Well, it was a firing squad, probably of arrows shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the alarm horn draws forth, they may ascend onto the mountain. So Moses descended from the mountain to the people. He hallowed the people. They rinsed their raiments. Then he said to the people, be prepared for 3 days. And he says, don't come close to a woman. You hear me? Don't come close to a woman. I don't know why he said that. I would think that would be the time where you would want to come close to a woman. Hold me, honey. I'm scared. The mountain's starting to shake, the smoke, the fire. No, don't come close to a woman. I don't know. I don't get that. That's verse 15 of chapter 19. It came to be on the third day at the coming of the morning that there came to be thunderclaps and flashes and a heavy cloud. See, the heavy cloud is associated with thunder and lightning and the sound of a trumpet exceedingly steadfast, so that all the people who are in the camp rejoiced. No, they trembled. They were scared shitless. That would be my paraphrase. All the people who were in the camp were scared shitless. Yet Moses brought the people forth from the camp to meet the one Elohim. So they stationed themselves at the nether part of the mountain. Still can't touch it, but they came close to the outermost part. As for Mount Sinai, meanwhile, back on Mount Sinai, all of it smoked. I'm reading scripture, verse 18, Exodus 19. all of it smoked in view of the fact that Yahweh descended on it in fire. Its smoke ascended as the smoke of a lime kiln. If you've ever seen a lime kiln, I'm sure most of you have, you know what I'm talking about. And the entire mountain trembled exceedingly. This is God showing Israel and showing us through Israel of how awesome and truly unapproachable he is apart from his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Scary, scary stuff. While the sound of the trumpet came to be growing and exceedingly steadfast, Moses, he was speaking, and the one, Elohim, he was answering him with a loud voice. Yahweh descended on Mount Sinai to the summit of the mountain. Then Yahweh called Moses to the summit. Oh, the summit of the mountain, and Moses ascended. Yahweh said to Moses, descend, testify to the people, lest they demolish the boundaries to Yahweh in order to see, you know, rubberneckers. What's going on? Let's get closer. Lest they do that and many of them fall, because I will have them killed. I promise to do that. Go down, make sure they're not trespassing. Moreover, the priests who are coming close to Yahweh, they shall sanctify themselves, lest Yahweh breach forth against them. It was risky business being a priest. Risky business. You had to do everything correctly. Now we are graced with the grace of God for doing nothing correctly. It is such a contrast. It's not that we don't do anything correctly. It's just that we don't have to do anything correctly. Here, at the time when God was administering law through Moses, you had to do everything correctly. Now, Moses said to Yahweh, the people can't ascend the Mount Sinai because you yourself testified to us, saying, set a boundary about the mountain and you will hallow it. Yahweh said to him, go, descend. Then you will ascend, you and Aaron, with you. Yet the priests and the people, they must not demolish the boundaries to ascend the Yahweh. They must not demolish the boundaries. Do you know what Jesus Christ did? He demolished the boundaries. He raised, destroyed the barrier, the wall between God and humanity. That's what Jesus Christ did. But you know what the priest did? Jesus Christ took down the veil of the temple when he died. The temple veil was rent in two from top to bottom. They put the temple wall back together. They put the veil back together. They put the temple wall back together. Everything they did, they didn't want to go out of business. Priesthood is big business. Priesthood is pride. Priesthood is, you need me to get to God, and you give me money to do it, and I'm the one who provides your sacrifice. I'm the one you tell your sins to. In the case of the Catholic priest, I'm the one who is very important to you. You don't have a relationship with God apart from me. This is the pride of priesthood, and there was a thing to it. It was a thing. If you were a chief priest in Israel, it was really hard not to be proud. The Apostle Paul was the proudest one. He wasn't a chief priest, but he was certainly a big shot in Judaism, and he was above his contemporaries, beyond his contemporaries in the law, becoming, he says, blameless. So Moses descended to the people and spoke to them. Now he's giving them, chapter 20, he's giving them the commandments. I'm not going to read them all because you know them all. I'm going to get to the main point here. In verse 18 of chapter 20, all the people were discerning the thunderclaps and the torches and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and the people saw and roved about and stood afar. And they said, verse 19, here it is. They said to Moses, speak you with us, that we may hear, yet Elohim must not speak with us, lest we die. There it is. You talk to us, Moses. We can handle you, because you look like us, you sound like us, you're a little goofy. We feel a little bit superior to you, actually, because you're such a bumpkin. You speak to us, that we may hear, yet Elohim must not speak with us, lest we die. And I can't blame him for saying that. I'm telling you, during this administration, you needed a priest. You did not wander into the Holy of Holies yourself. Then I'm going to go have a chat with the deity. Hey man, you can't do that. Only the chief priest is allowed in there once a year. I have confidence. Hey, doofus. Not the time for confidence. Not the time for that kind of confidence. God does different things at different times. Before you go in there, let's see if we can make you a dispensationalist. No, I don't believe in dispensationalism. God does everything at once. I'm wandering into the Holy of Holies. I'm going to have a chat with God. I hear the Shekinah glory dwells between the wings of the cherubim. I heard rumors about it. I've seen the courtroom drawings. You know, I'm going in there. I'll see you guys. That dude never came out. Never came out. Struck dead. Just as he would have been if he had touched Mount Sinai. Struck dead. You don't have a chummy relationship with God. He's not your father. He's your God. And Moses administered that. And Moses himself was a priest for the people who would become priests. And people today are infatuated with this. They love priesthood. Some of them want to be the priests. They want to be the people who stand in between God and man. And some of them want to have priests for themselves. They want to appoint priests. They want to appoint men of God to whom they can speak rather than going to the deity. Why? Because they don't know the deity. Because since this time, something has changed. Something dramatic has happened. Grace and peace came through Jesus Christ. And the glorified Christ chose another spokesman for a new truth. As God continues to unfold himself, he unfolded himself through his son, Jesus Christ, when he was on earth. But that wasn't the full unfolding. He unfolded himself even further through the Apostle Paul. And Paul never says we're a royal priesthood. That's Peter. Read 1 Peter. It's all over. The book of Hebrews that Paul wrote to his physical people concerning the kingdom being temporarily withdrawn talks about them being a priesthood. But we in the body of Christ, we don't need a priesthood. It's possible that when we're snatched away and when we're taken to our celestial realm and we begin to administer the grace of God among the celestials, we will be as priests. It could be, but that word, I'm just going to say that that's a possibility because we'll be ministers of God. I will not go so far as to say we will be priests to the celestial realm, as the scripture never says we will be priests, so I'm not going to say it. But I will suggest to you that we will be administering the grace of God to these beings, so it will be as though it were a priesthood. Now, I'm not going to get out of this show until I read Ephesians chapter 3. On this behalf, this is the contrast. On this behalf, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you, the nations, since surely you hear of the administration, I'm not a dispensationalist, I'm an administrationalist. The administration of what? The administration of the grace of God. This is it. This is not the administration of law. That was back in Exodus. There was a time for that. There was a time when you just didn't wander into the Holy of Holies to have a chat with God. But now, you're going to see what we have now when I get to verse 12. Hang in there. I'm not going to take too long here. Since surely you hear of the administration of the grace of God that is given to me, Paul speaking, for you. Ooh, that's a bold statement. It was given to Paul. That's it. It was given to Paul, the administration of the grace of God for you. For by revelation, the secret is made known to me, according as I write before. This is old news. By which you are reading are able to apprehend my understanding in the secret of the Christ. The secret of the Christ is that Christ is the head of all creation. All creation came into being through him, and all creation is reconciled through him. Which in other generations, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, verse 5, in other generations is not made known to the sons of humanity. You mean like back in Exodus? Yeah, back in Exodus, this truth was not made known to people. Aren't you glad you didn't live in the Exodus days? Just trying to make you more grateful. I need to be more grateful, that's for sure. So I'm teaching myself while I'm teaching you here, which in other generations is not made known to the sons of humanity, as it was now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in spirit. This was what was made known to them. The nations are to be joint enjoyers of an allotment and a joint body. The body of Christ is a joint body. You can be an Israelite and be in the body of Christ. You just surrender your Israelite privileges. You're no longer superior to a Gentile. In the Israel gospel, Israelites are superior to Gentiles. A Gentile can get in on the Israel gospel. We call them proselytes, but they're always going to be second-class citizens. In the body of Christ, it's not that way. It is a joint body. Paul himself was an Israelite, but there were many, many, many Greeks. And Paul had no leg up on anybody. Well, he was an apostle. He was the apostle. He was the administrator. So as the administrator, he had a special calling. That's true. But as far as him being an Israelite, that's what gave him the advantage? No. In fact, Paul concluded his Israelite heritage to be so much refuse in Philippians. Wow. The nations are to be joint joyers of an allotment, a joint body, joint partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the evangel of which I became the dispenser. Oh, through the, we have the word administration and dispense. Administrationalist, dispensationalist, that's all here. Of which I became the dispenser. The evangel of which I became the dispenser. Paul became one who dispensed, that is, gave out, like a candy machine dispenses candy bars, a pump machine dispenses Cokes, a gospel machine dispenses the gospel. Paul dispensed the gospel of grace. He was the dispenser of it. He, you know, pulled the knob, and out comes grace. In accord with, how did this happen, Paul? In accord with the gratuity of the grace of God. Obviously, because Paul is the worst sinner on the face of the earth when Christ called him. To bring the evangel of the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations. And to enlighten all as to what is the administration. There it is again. The administration of the secret. We're part of the administration of the secret. The secret of Christ. The secret of God being conciliated in the world. Paul unveiled lots of secrets. Which has been concealed from the eons in God, who creates all, that now may be made known. This was at that time and at the time of Paul's calling, that now may be made known to the sovereignties and the authorities among the celestials through the ecclesia, the multifarious wisdom of God, in accord with the purpose of the eons. There's the truth that had not been known before, which he makes in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12, in whom, speaking of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through his faith. Wow. You will not read that in Exodus. You won't even read that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Boldness with access. Boldness and access with confidence. Not even the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year. With confidence. He went with fear and trembling. Moses did not ascend Mount Sinai. Not even Moses ascended Mount Sinai with confidence. But we have boldness because God's given us a spirit of boldness to fellowship with God and confidence through Jesus Christ's faith. I'm going to end there for today, and it is such a blessing to be living in this era. When grace is being administered, when grace is being dispensed, when the love of God in its full flowering, its full demonstration, the full fruition of the love of God for humanity as seen through his Son on the cross, and all the secrets therein are explained to us through our apostle and through our apostle only in his 13 letters. And may the grace of God be with you all.